Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. And Neil and I are here today to discuss a psychic's role, which we will get to in just a moment, but want to, of course, do our little announcements that we always do, inviting you to follow us on Blog Talk Radio, of course, and also on social media sites, Facebook and Twitter. We really appreciate when people connect with us on these places, so we would encourage you to do so, especially if you're getting readings on the air. Right, Neil?
That's right.
Also, if you'd like to connect with Neil directly, 562-596-7818 is the number to do it. If you send me an email, I will be directing you back to the phone number unless you're asking some kind of general question that I can answer, aside from scheduling appointments, which I do not do. And what else? Anything else? Any other announcements? Oh, I know. Actually, the basis for our show today is an article that we wrote yesterday on a psychic's role, and we're participating, Neil and I, in a new site, or a site that hasn't been around for too long, I don't think, but it's called Inner Soul Cafe. So innersoulcafe.com is where you would find it. Our article is posted there. And of course, if you're connected with us on any of our social media sites, then you will be able to read the article. But we invite you to visit that site as well. There are other contributors besides Neil and I. So a lot of information on there. A psychic's role.
Yeah. Well, It's complex.
It is complex because some people don't go deep into the layers that involve being a psychic. So, you know, you think about third eye, opening the third eye, connecting with the breath, starting to listen to the astral realm, but it actually goes so much deeper than that. And the ability that one has as a psychic is going to build throughout successive lifetimes. Especially, and it's going to be dependent on the amount of karma that they clear, the transcendence that they're able to actualize. But I'll, Neil, for a little bit before I interrupt.
That's fine. The psychic environment is basically concentrated in the sixth chakra, the third eye, where we receive a lot of our psychic abilities. And because everyone possesses a third eye, because it is the eye of the soul, to some degree, from A to Z, people have a certain degree of psychic ability. Some people will have no psychic ability, but just sheer instincts share that kind of element.
Right, so, it starts at the gut level, actually, the third chakra, the instinctual part, intuition.
Even the first.
Right, because it's survival, of course.
But the so we all have it to some degree. Now, my belief is that we develop that, and we can develop it within one lifetime to a very large degree. However, I just don't believe that those of us who develop it to a very intense area in one lifetime are beginning the journey in that lifetime. Being a psychic is a lifelong endeavor, but it's also a soul
endeavor. You're talking about a soul endeavor. So it's the lives that a soul, and it's not only on the planet Earth, but it's the lives we have between our lifetimes.
In the astral realm.
In the astral realm.
In the astral realm where all of us are, it's not really called the third eye, it's just the eye of the soul. And so, you know, in the astral realm, we don't really have we aren't really eating or drinking or doing things like that. So our chakra systems are defined differently. The soul does occupy seven chakra zones, but they're defined differently in the astral realm than they would be in the physical realm, because they're not connected anymore to the body as long as you're in that astral realm. And of course, the body has expired from the previous lifetime. So between lifetimes, when one is in the astral realm, and where they're going is not the topic right now, it's just while they're in the astral realm, they're omniscient to some extent. They have that knowingness. They're in the astral realm. They know many of the attitudes and secrets and facts and figures of the astral realm, so to speak. And so that's something that is exists in that area. Now, when you're in that area, that eye is being fed without an obstruction of the physicality
of the ego and the brain.
Mm-hmm. And we hear things and we're more absorbed in what our past lives have been. It's clearly, it's like we're in a classroom. It's right there on the board. We're in direct confrontation. It's almost like you took a test. And then after the test, you go over your results and you can look in the book and you can see what you did wrong or right on the test. Well, the astral realm is sort of like the conference after you take a test in the world. It's the conference after you live a life on the earth. And that's where you really get to say, you know, I was strong in this area, I was weak in this area. There's a great evaluation that goes on there. And while you're going through that evaluation, your third eye is being developed in terms of the passages that have to be established if one should happen to come back to the planet. If you're not coming back to the planet, well, then there's no need to establish a criteria for the planet as to what you're going to be doing. There's no need for it. But if you're coming back to the planet, well, that third eye is going to be embedded in the soul of the body that the person is going to be occupying.
Right. So it may counteract, or the other chakras may counteract the function of the third eye, depending on how many chakras that person has actualized in the previous lifetime. We talked a little bit about this in the article, how, I mean, all of us to transcend a planet need to fulfill each of the chakras, but on being a psychic, having fulfilled each chakra is going to enhance one's ability. So if someone comes into the body, say, and they've enhanced the first, or they've completed the first, second, and fifth chakras, and maybe done some work on the sixth, but have to fulfill the rest of the chakras, then there might be some lessening of that third eye ability that they might need to work more diligently on in that specific lifetime.
I mean, psychics struggle. A lot of psychics struggle with stability, grounding. So a lot of psychics.
Or health.
Health, family problems, relationships. I recall Sylvia Brown, a psychic in her lifetime, having marital problems and relationship problems. And she would go on air and kind of allude to the problems she had. Well, there's somebody, whatever your tastes are to her is not the issue. It's just there was a psychic who supposedly had gifts and had problems in relationship. I think it eventually worked its way through, but certainly there was a lot of stuff going on in there. I know a lot of psychics now that even call me and with questions about home and stability in the home and financial security. Yeah, where they obviously came back with a very nice energy in their sixth chakra, but their first chakra has issues that are now compromising and challenging their role as a psychic.
Right. And I think that one's limitations are going to be set. I really believe that, you know, there's a certain distance you can go as far as developing a talent. So either you're going to be able to develop it to its fullest capacity or you're not. And that's going to be determined by what work you've done in your past lives, according to being a psychic, of course. But I mean, I believe this for all things, you know, being a musician, I think there's, you know, you're going to either be, you have the potential to be great or you're going to have limited potential, and it varies. I just think there's so much
basically,
you can do.
You know, it's true in life. I mean, not everyone who tries to be president becomes president, and not everyone who tries to win the Academy Award wins it.
Right. But I'm not talking about success. I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Neil. I'm not talking about success, actualized success as a psychic in terms of, you know, how famous you are. I'm talking about skill. You know, you can be a great writer and, you know, have not sold any books and have to self-publish, or a great singer and not, you know, be at the forefront of the music industry. I'm talking about talent, developing talent.
Well, it's true. I mean, yeah, some of it, people will say it's luck, it's timing. And then some other people will say, well, it's karma.
And there are many psychics that are successful that are not great psychics. I mean, there are famous psychics that, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, go for a reading. I mean, I don't go to anyone for a reading, but know what I'm saying.
Yeah, the degree as to how skillful one is somewhat locked into the energy field of their previous and to get them where they are. But you know, luckily I don't have to necessarily judge myself or anybody else in terms of how skillful they are. I mean, you either are accurate or you're not, or you have gifts in certain areas as opposed to other areas, and it's all kind of a different grab bag of just how advanced you are in the attitude of being a psychic. Some people are very intuitive about their own life, and some people don't know a thing about their own life, but they're very good at handling other people's lives. Some people have a certain attitude about relationships, and they just don't give good advice about finances. The growth of yourself as a psychic, if that's your goal in life, is that, you try in your lifetime to develop your craft as best you can and to be as accurate as you possibly can, and to apply it with proper analogies and metaphors and examples. These are all very important, as much as one's connection, authentic connection with higher guides that are speaking to the psychic, and the way that these energies are being channeled, and how accurate not only a psychic's eye is, but as how accurate a psychic's ear is in terms of hearing not only their client, potential client,
but the
voices above.
Right.
And so it's all, you know, it's all a matter of, to me, also discipline, study. It doesn't matter if you're given a card that you are going to be a great psychic. Okay, you're coming down to be a great psychic. I'm still a firm believer that you study hard, you research, you develop your craft. You just don't sit back and, I mean, there are some people, there are seers and there are gifted mystics that just sit back and can do it. And you know, that's a blessing. But for the most of us, myself included, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of
education.
Education. Practice. It's a passion as much as it is a devotion. And you're devoted to your craft, and you try to do the best you can and perfect your language in such a way that's effective to your listeners. So, but I think the main thing about the psychic role is that we don't take into account that as psychics, we build our talents over many lifetimes. And each time we come back to the planet, hopefully we've evolved. Very few of us come back with a perfect chronological order of chakra systems where 1, 2, 3, 4,
ideally,
five, seven,
yes, that would be how it works, but it's not generally the case.
Not generally the case, not with myself either. So some things take priority, and karma can overlap and overwhelm into the transcendent phases of one's life.
Right, because you mentioned, Neil, that, you know, other psychics, will put quotes around the word psychic, but other psychics seek advice from you because they're having problems in relationships, problems in security and foundation. But even if you're an effective psychic and you've fulfilled your chakras for the most part, you can still have disruption in terms of karma. An effective psychic, a gifted psychic, an actualized psychic can be, you know, can have a problem in the home environment. They can have a problem, but it's how it's managed, I think, is the important thing, and how you're able to separate that from your role as a psychic.
Yeah. I mean, fortunately, I've never allowed my personal challenges to conflict with my professional attitude in doing readings and things. So I try not, and so far I've been fairly successful at not having my personal life command my professional life. And what I do, what my solution to the problem is that you remain steadfast, you're strong, you're grounded, you have faith, your endurance. These are all very parts of the attitude of the spirit. I think in terms of what are the tools of the spirit, the body, yes, because the body has to have some sense of physical command over one's life. But without the spirit, the body is going to die, in my estimation. So everything comes from the attitude and substance of the spirit, and you just have to really get in there and analyze what is the spirit composed of. Because it's not something we can dissect and look at as though they were physical pieces that have a function. It's like trying to go into the brain and discover how can we pull out a thought. We can't. We can pull out areas of the brain that command certain attitudes of thinking, analytical or intuitive or whatever it is, logical. We know where the parts of the brain are that command those centers, but we can't look at a brain and necessarily, I mean, as science advances, there's a vague answer to that. But generally speaking, we cannot pull out a tool from a spirit. These are all very elusive attitudes that, to me, are all the more real because you can't see them and yet they're there. So that's what makes it very important to me in terms of how I've trained myself to see things that normally most of us can't see.
Right.
That's the whole attitude of the third eye, is to see what is the physical eye can't pick up, the third eye does. And it's an amazing tool to work with, if you want to call it that at this point, and quite effective. To some extent, we all have a third eye, and wouldn't it be fantastic if we all had the ability to see what the naked eye can't see? We virtually have three eyes in that regard. And, you know, when you look at it that way, imagine it's like a pyramid. Your two eyes are the base and your third eye is the pinnacle of that pyramid. So, and that's a mystical thing. We even have it on our dollar bill. Forget about the Masons.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
But just as a sheer symbol, the purity of the symbol. Not the darkness of it.
Well, yeah, there's a reason the symbols are used in dark magic. They have power.
Well, they do.
So the light side of that three-sided figure is quite powerful and mystical. Well,
yeah.
Three.
And the third eye is essentially the eye that can see what the physical eye can't see. And the eye that sees what the physical eye can't see also absorbs knowledge. So there's a certain knowledge that the third eye occupies. Our naked eyes just occupy sight. Our brain holds the knowledge. But understand this. The third eye is a brain. There is a brain in the third eye. And that's what's amazing about the third eye.
Okay, Neil. Some calls? So, is that all right with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If it wasn't, I would say too bad anyway. Just kidding.
Is that T-O-O or T-W-O?
T-O.
Oh, T-O.
Okay. No, it was the number two. Bad. Too bad.
There's three ways two, to five, say two, huh?
That's right. 252. 252 area code is first. Who's this?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Naima. How are you doing
today?
I'm
sorry. We're doing well, but we can't hear you that that well. What's your name again?
Naima. You hear me better?
Yeah, Naima. Could you, is it N? Just spell it. I'm not going to guess.
N-E-I-H-E-M-I-A.
N-E-I-A-E-M-I-A. And what's your birth date?
12977.
I'm going to re-spell your name because I did not guess right, that's for sure. And I'm glad I didn't. What is your location?
South Carolina.
And welcome to the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
So I don't think we've spoken with you before. I would have remembered that pretty name. What's your question?
How about finances? Do you see me getting a job soon?
A job. You're not employed currently?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that, but hopefully something will open up. Neil?
Naima. Naima. Naima, I want to ask you something. Not that this would occupy the only job you ever had, but mm-hmm. I'm just curious. In your whole lifetime, even when you were younger, did you ever do retail? Were you ever involved in any kind of job with retail?
I only had one job with retail.
Mm-hmm.
And then one was working for the supermarket.
A supermarket. You were working in a supermarket. Was that more or less like a cashier or a checkout?
Yep.
Okay. So, and I want to ask you something else, Naima.
Mm-hmm.
In your education, did you go anywhere beyond high school, even if it was only for a short time in a community college, at least, if nothing more, at least that much?
Yeah, I do have plenty of. I never got the degree, but I got the credits. As a matter of fact, I'm 40 now, so I'm at a community college trying to get some type of degree. You know, something that I can market myself with.
So, in other words, Naima, as we speak, and I'm saying the word community college, and I'm getting that vibe for some reason, but shy of a degree, you're literally attending a community college as we speak and pursuing a degree.
Yes.
Am I hearing
I'm
that correctly?
I'm shy of a degree. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now that I've established that much in this short time, I'm going to encourage you to get that degree. It's not going to take much longer. It would, in my mind, it would be under a year. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to go, that would be your associate degree. I would encourage you to take, to obtain that. But,
mm-hmm.
but as far as getting an immediate job, yes, you're going to get an immediate job. But you know what I think, Naima? I think that when I'm hearing from maybe it's angels, you know, that there's a certain contingency, meaning that if you pursue your education and get your degree within that year time,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be blessed with a job to maintain your life while you're in pursuit of a degree. So there'll be a kind of going to school and getting a job, and mm-hmm. things will kind of maintain themselves until you can further enhance your finances. Now, is there anybody that you know personally, that was involved in social work or social welfare?
It's this one lady, but she lives in the next county over, and I was introduced to her. I guess I knew her as a child or something. She's a social worker, but she said if I ever go to that county, she'll be able to hook me up with some stuff. And that's like the next county over. you know, but I'd still be, like, still in the community college vicinity, you know what I'm saying? And the one that I go to, because it's only, like, the next county, like, maybe 5 miles down the highway, you know.
She's validating it, but she says she lives in the next county, which is not, that doesn't matter.
Well, that's
I wanted to move, and if I wanted to pursue the nursing, because I was wondering, should I just get a degree, or should I go get the nursing degree, which would be like another 2 years on top of this, but I wouldn't have the degree until I finished nursing, which would be an extra 2 years. And if I did, then I would definitely have to move. And I was like kind of wondering if I should stay here for another 2 years and finish it out. But I have to move if I was to, you know, get out of this county at least in order to finish up the next 2 years. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. Do you have a passion for nursing? Would you like to go for the 2 years and get a nursing degree?
Well, it's dependent. I was going to go ahead and apply for the school for nursing, and if I didn't get into the nursing school, I was just going to take the degree, just finish up with the degree, because I'm through with all my prerequisites for nursing. I would just have to, you know, apply for I'm through with all the nursing, but in order to get the AAS, the general one, I'll have to take a couple more credits for that.
Generally speaking, nursing is what you want to go into?
Yeah, but if I don't get into it the first time, I was just going to take the degree and move to another state.
Well, I think suffice to say, I'm getting this social worker, which lends itself to the option of you going for the 2 years if that's what you want. But here's what I'm thinking. Whether you choose that or whether you choose the less challenging course of life and just get your nurse, just get what's adequate. They both, you know, it's going to be up to you, but I do see this happening, and I think you're going to be getting a job to supplement that, but I think you're on the right path. If I were you, I would probably follow the social worker's advice and go for the larger. I know you're 40, but
You're talking about my counselor, the lady I was talking about. Yes. Oh, yeah. She was the one who was, she kind of redirected me back to nursing because I was like, I just want my degree and get it over with. But she was like, but you're in this and you're in that, and all you had to do was do this, and you'd be in the nursing program. You know, you had to still apply. You had to compete for it, but still, you know.
Well, there's a reason why I'm picking it up. I mean, but don't worry.
Oh, okay.
It's not like mandated that you have to do it that way. I do feel that no matter what path you choose here, you'll be happy. It's just what you want to do in terms of how far you want to go and what challenges you want to overcome. So, generally a good reading. I'm getting a good affirmation about your progress going forward, and you're getting work soon.
All right, Naima. Oh, okay. Well, hopefully that helps.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. 562-596-7818. And we lost Marie, but that's okay. If she's listening, call back because we'll be able to fit you in, Marie. Recognize her number and bring on Deanna. Deanna, hi there.
Well, hello. Hi.
Hi.
I was reading about the article yesterday, late at night, and about, you know, your personal stories. Very nice.
Oh, thank you.
I just tuned in, you know, to listen this afternoon.
Could you talk right into the phone, Deanna? We're having a problem hearing.
I know, it's mutual. I know. I'm having a problem hearing you too.
Are you really?
Yeah, well, you sort of sound like you're.
You know what I'm going to do? Hey, you can keep talking, but I've got a little plan here. Keep talking because I think I have a way to do this.
It just sounds like you're in a tunnel, that's all. But it's okay. I can make out the words and understand.
That's okay. We're going to get a better sound in just a moment. I've learned this workaround here, but I have to dial in as the host. It's really interesting. I'll tell you in a minute what I'm going to do here. Hold on just a sec.
I'm a link.
Okay. Congrats.
No, that sounds weird. That sounds weird. Completely distorted. Yeah, totally weird. No, the earlier one was better.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the other one's better than this?
They must be having problems today. Okay, so I can disconnect us from here.
Okay, we're trying it a little more.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I can understand what you're saying. It's good enough.
Okay. Well, do you have a question today?
Oh, God, I have a million questions, but none I have thought of beforehand. today is the 19th of October, so I'm about 20 days away from my birthday, from Magical 66. Do you pick up anything improving? Because things don't seem to have improved much. At least I haven't improved.
Well, you know, to me, sometimes there can be extraordinary waiting periods. I in my life, Diana, I try not to, in a period of transition, I try not to be too stagnant. So every day I'm trying my best to be productive and to put forth as much work as I can. I try not to let the day go by where it just feels like I'm in a waiting pattern. The reason I do that is because I'm a little bit superstitious that if I'm not working hard, I'm a kind of a workaholic.
Indeed.
And I'm not working hard, then wow, I start getting nervous. So that's just the way I am. But thank God I've been busy throughout my life. And my waiting periods that I've had to go through were at least filled with me making sure I was being productive and being busy at doing something, whether it was research or whatever it was, I was working hard. And so that, you know, in terms of you going through a difficult transition, I would say the baseline would be productive. Don't wait. Don't be stagnant. Don't try to find legitimate excuses for not being active.
Did you apply for that job, Diana, that you were considering?
No, I haven't applied for that one or for a really simple one at a supermarket. I haven't done anything, and I am completely without energy. I'd say I'm about 10 to 15% of my energy level. I have no energy, and it may be due to, you know, feeling discouraged, but I don't know. I think it may be physical as well, and I'm not a big believer in doctors. Surgeons, maybe, but other kinds of doctors, you know, no, not really. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Energy,
I don't know exactly what's going on.
Well, I don't know, Diana. I mean, energy is a miraculous thing because you can obtain it in the physical world by certain foods or whatever. I mean, I guess there's ways. We don't have any energy markets. We have energy drinks, but we don't have any place where we can fuel up on energy. I guess some people think they know how to do that by artificial means.
Substance.
But
I'm thinking, and she's in Florida.
To me, the energy of if depression is offsetting your energy level, you really have to activate the mind and find some way to combat the depression, you know, in a constructive way.
I do. I was listening to Ted, you know, a neuroscientist on TED about creating new neurons. And whenever I learn something new, I get more energy.
What about holistic doctors in terms of your health issues?
Yeah, problem is finances. It's still a huge, enormous problem right now. And
but there are,
just,
I think there
you know,
are, in your area, you're in like Miami, aren't you? Are you in Miami?
I am.
There should be maybe a sliding scale clinic, a holistic. You might want to look into that because I know that, that they exist.
Of the senior centers offer holistic classes.
Or acupuncture. Sometimes they offer discounted acupuncture. Yeah. I know Neil's not a big fan of acupuncture because, well, that's another show, but, you know, it can be helpful.
I'm a big fan of energy medicine as well, but being so very, very restricted because of the financial situation. Okay, I've got a question.
You could, Deanna, activate maybe the senior center and see if they offer anything. Go ahead.
No, well, nothing. Okay. What were you going to say, Deanna? Well, we've got another caller, but go ahead.
Okay, no, go ahead. Go ahead and take your other caller.
Was there something else?
It's good.
No, we want to
take it. Well, I don't know. I'll put out an energy, Deanna. Your birthday's in about 20 days. I'll put out an energy that there is going to be an increase in your energy field. But, you know, if your finances are depleted, which avoids the issue of trying to find a means to gain this energy, there could be a harsh statement from the universe that you might have to take a job. And it may seem like a catch 22, but if you're saying I could work at the supermarket or I could do that, but I don't have the energy for it, the issue might be that you're going to need the energy to sustain yourself by getting a job. And that might be a difficult step right now, but it might be the first step towards an end, a good end.
True.
So I would say to activate your energy level in whatever way you can, force yourself, get a job, and do whatever minimal task you can to get a paycheck going, and that might help clear you out of this ditch.
It's with D, but it feels like it's with B.
Yeah.
The word you said it with a D, and I say it feels like it's starting with a B.
With a B.
But definitely.
Rhymes.
It's a ditch, it's high pitch, and it's In any case, thank you so much. And I'll call in another day and ask you the other question, or if you have time, you can always come back.
Come back to you. Yeah, definitely. Okay, Deanna. Hang out.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. You're welcome. Okay, let's take 205. Perhaps we'll have a moment to get back to her. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
I'm just calling in. I just got your phone number. I'm calling in. I've never called in before.
That's great.
I'm not sure exactly what.
What to do. I will ask you the questions to start, and just let me know what your name is, please, first of all. And we need to get your birth date, the full birth date.
Okay, Lee, 2/14/66.
Is that Lee with a double E, or is it L-E-I-G-H?
It's L-E-I-G-H.
Okay, and where are you calling from, Lee?
Alabama.
1966.
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Alabama. Okay, and it's 2/14/66, correct? 2/3/7/17/12. She's 29.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Lee, I'm guessing that you've got a question. That's probably why you're calling. So what can we help you with?
I guess my main question is, I want to know, I had a business for like almost 30 years, and I got really burnt out on it. And it doesn't really work anymore, but it works for other people. I'm wondering, you know, I'm thinking I got burnt out. The reason it doesn't work is because I'm burnt out on it, and I don't have any passion or drive for it. But what I do have passion and drive for is helping others. And during the time I did that business, I did humanitarian work, mission work overseas, all over the world. And that's what makes my heart beat. That's what makes my adrenaline go. That's what makes my passion go. But I'm not sure how to start that, get that going, and have the money without the business, because I paid my own way to do all this. And I never ask anybody for money to do it. I just paid my own way. And that's what I want to do. I want to do the humanitarian work. And I want to take my son with me. So I'm just trying to figure out how to get, if that's what I'm supposed to, I feel like that's what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't know how to start it. I don't know how to get it going.
Well, when you were first talking, we've ever talked before, and I might be wrong, but when you were talking, I felt you had gone through a divorce. Is that true?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
That's what stopped it all.
Oh, what's that?
What?
That's what stopped. The person I married said they were all into what I was into, and as soon as I married them, I dated them 6 years. They totally changed instantly, and they said, "No, I'm not into this. I don't want to do this." We had all the things, all the goals that we had put in place that I said we need to have in common if we're going to marry, which he wanted to get married. He said he had all those goals in common. And then as soon as we got married, he said he didn't have all those goals in common. He don't know why he even said that. For 6 years he said it, and that he was sorry, and that was the only explanation that he could give me. And from there, it just went, like an explosion, because I was going to cut my losses, and then found that I was pregnant right before we signed the divorce papers. I just gotten back from a 6 week mission trip to Africa, and so as soon as I got pregnant, and then as soon as I didn't know I was pregnant, but I was signing divorce papers, then I had a child, then we went through a custody battle, and it was a nightmare. It went on for like four or 5 years.
Okay.
I'm absorbing that, and I'm also psychically was already prepared for that. I felt that story. So I think, Lee, here's what I'm getting in my reading with you today. You're going to be doing overseas work. Now that I see, the process as to how we strategically get to that place might have different attitudes and parts in it that might involve a deeper reading. I'm not sure, but if we don't go to a deeper reading, which we don't have time for on the radio, I can tell you this. I do see you doing this work overseas. I think that there's a certain karmic chapter that you went through with your ex-husband where you produced your child. You want to be able to take your child with you. And for some reason, when I jump forward in time, I see you doing your work. What I don't have time for is what is the process that gets you there. That's what I don't quite know yet. But I will say this. There's something to do with a cousin. I don't know who cousin is.
No, Yes, sir. Go ahead. Keep. Yes.
Yeah, there's something to do with a cousin, Lee. And if you can connect to that cousin, then the attitude of you going overseas is going to grow and become an actual event.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, sir. I can understand. The only thing I can make sense of it is, we're very close, and her and her husband are very rich. I don't want to steal their money, but I'm just saying, you got to have somewhere to start. And I think that she would be willing to help me start. And if I can get started, other people might see that I'm not wasting my time or energy. There's something to this. I've been feel like I'm called to do this since I was little.
Well, you are. I validate you are. Now, here's what I suggest you do, is go and to some degree, talk to your cousin about your plan and just bat it out with them. Talk to them, see what they might be willing to do. But that's for the radio reading. That's what I would first lead you to. And your cousin is going to lead you. There's going to be, you'll be led from there, wherever you may go. That's where you have to go first. Go. Try that first and see what they have to say. Be logical and discreet about it and respectful, but go to them first.
Okay. And how do I get other, how do I continue doing this with, is there a number?
Yes.
To talk with you again, or is there?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Is there a number to speak with you again, or do I just, or is this, You said on the radio we couldn't go any further.
There's a number, just because the radio show readings are somewhat limited in scope, because we do try to reach every caller that comes through, and there's a time limit.
Yes,
if you'd like further discussion, the number is on
Blog Talk Radio, our Blog Talk Radio page, but I can also give it to you. It's 562-596-7818. And I don't know if you're on Facebook, but we're also on Facebook, and you can connect with us there as well. But if you have questions about a longer discussion, you'll want to use that number to get in touch.
Okay, and what are you under on the Facebook?
I'm
Is
sorry?
The one I saw, because I found you on Facebook. Would that be where I always find you?
That's right. And then there's a fan page as well, Neil Baker Psychic, so you can find one via the other. So, yeah, you send us a friend request, like the Neil Baker Psychic page. We'd appreciate it greatly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Bye.
You're welcome, Lee. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Okay, do you want to take Deanna's question, and then we'll
sure.
close early? After?
Yeah, what time is it now?
We've got 15 minutes left. Weird day today. But hi, Deanna. Yeah, quiet. Not for us, but quiet hour. We'll be running like crazy after the show. Okay, Deanna.
Hi, you're back. Thank you. What a wonderful lady. What a wonderful lady you just spoke with.
Yeah, she was nice.
Yeah.
Wonderful lady.
What humanitarian.
People in the South, too, they're real. They just
first
have
thing
nice
I thought of
mood.
Was that song, Down Home Alabama, but it like a very happy song, you know?
Yeah.
This is my question. The people I've been working for since 2003, they've been taking more than advantage, almost like using me almost like a slave. I've got the professional license, and they've been paying me about 15%, even though they're the agent, and they keep like 85% or more throughout 13 years, no increases. So I came up, I've already refused 5 jobs from them because they left me out, you know, in the cold. So now I came up with like a new amount I want every time I do a job for them. I finally figured it out after about 2 weeks. And I was wondering if you, when the next time she calls, do you feel that they're going to agree to it? Because it's definitely rational. It's definitely reasonable. And business is business. And I've never taken this as a business. I've always done it from the heart, from the passion sense.
I don't know. Deanna, it's like mumbling. I mean, we can hardly hear you.
Well, we heard.
Speaking right. I mean, we can hear, but it's 2003, essentially. You're feeling that they're not. I'm having a really hard time here.
Okay, the rate I was being paid is equivalent to about 15% of the fee that as a certified interpreter I would get, federally certified.
Okay.
So I came up with what I want from her in order to continue doing work for her. And I was wondering if Neil feels that she's going to be agreeable to it, because it is reasonable.
I think so. Deanna, I want to ask you something. Where could the amount of roughly $4,000 to $5,000 fit into this scenario, if it can all fit in at all?
Well, she would definitely owe me that much from back work, but I'm talking about going from an hourly fee, which we usually get a minimum, not just an hour, to a percentage. Since she's my agency, I think they're entitled to get at least about 15 to 20% of what I make. I've been getting 15 of 20% of what is received. It's been the other way around, you know. So now I want to offer her, about 20%, 20 to 25%, and I get the 75 to 80%. Because that's what makes sense.
I think she'll agree to at least the 20.
Right, because that's what she's been giving me instead. You know, it's been like...
Yeah, I know. I think, Deanna, that I see some room for negotiation, and that she'll agree to an adjusted rate to where you're getting a little bit more and she's getting a little bit less, but it would be the minimal,
A lot less, because she's been giving me 15% and keeping 85%, which she cannot really do, because without the certification, she needs to hunt around the U.S. for someone else. And then she counts on me day in, day out. So I feel that I'm the one entitled to the 75 to 80% instead of her.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't agree to it, goodbye, you know.
Yeah. I think it's a big change. You're asking her to make it a huge adjustment from what was a pre-existing situation. And she does owe you apparently $4,000 or $5,000 from back jobs. So, you know, with that, taking that into account, I don't know exactly I misunderstood a little bit that her take was going to, you know, had it backwards. But now that I'm understanding it, I think she'll be willing to negotiate. I don't know if she'll go so far as to make the leap to make that sheer exchange and reverse the standards. But I think that there might be a way to readjust your pay scale and still accept the terms. So I don't know if for you to make a blunt statement, I want 75 to 85% and that's it. I might, if I were you, I might be willing to renegotiate this under different terms, but still above what you're making now and to receive your back pay as well, which I don't know why she isn't paying you, but.
No, it's not that she's not paying me. I've talked to her. I've addressed the matter over the last 2 years many times, and she just refuses to talk about it and kept on giving me work until about a month ago. I said, no, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. I don't think you should work. I don't think you should work for free, and I don't think you should continue to work for somebody who's refusing to pay you. So I think those things have to be addressed. But as far as a renegotiated fee, I'm seeing some degree of success there, but I can't specify exactly what it's going to be, but I would encourage you to have a dialogue with her.
Right. I will do that. I'm successful, I'll get to do a phone hearing with you too. Not a hearing, session with you. But, you feel very minute when you're being taken advantage of because of a good heart. When I started working for her 2003 and now 2015, and the rate hasn't changed, and our certified rate has changed 9 times. So she's making more of me now than she was in 2003.
Yeah, it sounds very, it doesn't, it sounds like a corrupt position.
Very.
Her
name is one letter short of the word greed. You have to supplant one of the E's for an A. It's not good. When her husband was around, if I had like 2 assignments in the morning, I would get the half a day. And right now, what I'm asking for is a half a day, no matter what I do.
Yeah.
Because she does get paid 4 hours anytime she contracts me.
Yeah.
Which is a half a day.
Well, we'll put out prayer and hopefully that will assist you in your renegotiating. Let us know.
Let us know what happens, Diana.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I did love your story.
Oh, thank you.
I hope you, Kristen, get to talk about the development of your psychic abilities one of these days as well.
Oh, I will for sure. And we're going to be writing a lot more articles too. So I'm sure, I'm always more comfortable when a pen's in my hands than speaking off the top of my head. So hopefully we'll be able to express that and other thoughts and ideas in our upcoming articles.
Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you. Thank you. Blessings to you. And boy, I'm sharing her exhaustion today. Because my throat is on fire. So we are going to close early. Got a busy day. Is that all right with you, Neil?
That's all right. We'll
if you said no, I would have said, too bad. That's the theme of the day. Too bad. This is what I'm doing.
Well, I wouldn't know how to operate this thing. So.
Oh, well, it doesn't.
It wouldn't do me any good anyway.
Okay, well, back on the air on Wednesday. And who knows what we'll be talking about. It's a surprise, but thanks callers, thanks to our listeners, and we will talk to you and hear from you on Wednesday. Bye-bye.